All right, beautiful people, welcome to the Afternoon Jams. Summercast, Facebook, YouTube. Big Rob, how you doing today, sir?
I am fine, sir. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. It's currently like 97 degrees where I'm at right now. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day outside in Muskegon, too. So get out and enjoy the festivities that's going on today. Got the festival in the park. In full effect, and I think they have comedy today. So it's 82 degrees in Muskegon. Our first guest today is running for the new judgeship in Muskegon County. No stranger to the ballot. I think he ran for judge before. Matt Queso joins us today. How are you doing today, Attorney Matt Queso?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Man, doing awesome. Right, doing awesome, right. Man. How's the campaign going so far?
You know, good. You know, it's when I ran 2 years ago, you know, it was right during the height of COVID. And so, you know, when you went door to door, people, you didn't know what you're going to get, you know, whether or not people are going to be afraid to talk to you, whether or not they're going to be welcoming. So now it's been a little nicer. You can go door to door talking to people. They're not as afraid to get close to you, shake your hand. So this particular round has been better. Last 2 years ago, there was no parades. There was nothing. So my kids who were so excited for parades, they didn't get those. So it's, let me tell you something. It's been a heck of a lot better experience than 2 years ago because we're out of the pandemic. So it's been good. It's good.
So to folks who don't know, who is Attorney Matt Queso?
Well, I'm originally from the east side of the state. I grew up in a town called Waterford, which is in Oakland County. It's about 35, 40 minutes from Detroit. Grew up there, went to Michigan State for undergraduate. My poli-sci degree, worked a little bit in the political field, decided that isn't as quick as I want to move in terms of solving people's problems, decided to go to law school and graduated from Michigan State, eventually migrated over to the west side of the state, to Muskegon, and started practicing here in private practice. Met my wife here, have three beautiful kids, 16, 9 and 6. I'm living in Fruitport right now. Luckily, I bought my house 5 years ago as opposed to right now because it's a zoo out there right now. Yeah, and I've enjoyed the lakeshore. I absolutely love Muskegon. I grew up kind of going in the summers, going camping, going swimming in the Great Lakes, and we didn't have the blessing of being this close to it. So I absolutely love being this close to the Great Lakes here. So enjoy getting outside. I go skiing in the winter. Try to get as much as I can to the beach in the summer and enjoy the area here and just love being here. Love the community, love the diversity. I think we got the best county. We have a hidden gem here in terms, and hopefully we keep it a little bit of a secret so it doesn't blow up too much.
The secret is out. They already know. Let's go out to the marina and go out to the lake.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah, they know. I'm hoping that it stays not too bad. We don't have as much traffic here. We don't got the riffraff as much as other places do. And we got the beauty of the lakeshore. I always say, look, I have no reason to cross the bridge to Grand Haven because we got everything we need right here.
That part. Big Rob, I'll let you go ahead. And we have a couple questions we have asked Judge Pittman and Attorney Elder Brady, and we're going to ask you the same questions.
So why run for circuit court judge?
You know, one of the primary things, really when I first sat down to do it, I've had the pleasure of representing thousands of clients for the last 12 years. A lot of them are in the throngs of addiction, the throngs of mental health issues, and probably the most rewarding thing for me as an attorney has seen somebody who has overcome that. So, you know, when you meet somebody in the jail who's just got arrested for something either drug related or mental health related, you're a person that can intercede, give them some hope. You know, you say, okay, look, let's get you in a rehab, let's get you an outpatient, let's get you some mental health help. And to see those individuals overcome that and then be able to go to a judge and say, judge, I know you want to send this guy to prison. I know you want to send him for long jail, but look how well they're doing. And to see a judge look at him and say, look, you've done really well, I'm not sending you there, has been really, really rewarding for me. And so, you know, part of one of the first reasons I wanted to run was to kind of expand, you know, the ability to do that rather than just one-on-one with every client, to do it on a kind of a larger scale, being a judge. we have a lot of great judges now who do those things, but I think continuing to emphasize on that is incredibly important. And the second reason is, you know, I'm in private practice. I'm a small business person. Anybody who's listening or watching this, if they're a small business person, they know it's not a 9-to-5 job. It is a 8-to-whenever job. I mean, whenever you get done, I mean, you're working weekends, you're working, you know, all hours of the night. And sometimes I would get frustrated, you know, look, you know, why can't we get a court date more than 60 days out? And sometimes I would see these dockets and I'm thinking, man, you know, getting done at 3:30, getting done at 3, starting hearings at 9, you know, come on, we got to get going here. Look, if you're paying someone, you know, judges here in this county make $140,000 a year. And if I'm a citizen and I'm paying you $140,000 a year, I expect you to be working at least 8:30 to 5, and, you know, maybe take a couple weekends here and there, because, you know, that's what I do. So I wanted to bring that workhorse mentality to the bench, that you know, to set an example that we take people's legal matters seriously. We get them done in a timely fashion. And if we got to go past 5 o'clock or start before 9 o'clock to get things done, especially after the pandemic, then that's what we're going to do. And, you know, I think that's unique to the bench. Not that, you know, not that these individuals haven't been in private practice, but I'm incredibly busy. I get up, I get here about 8 o'clock, unless I'm dropping my kids off at school. And sometimes I don't go home till 7. And it causes some strain sometimes on family relationships, but that's what you got to get done, you know? And so I want to bring that mentality to the bench in Muskegon, that we're going to work our butts off here. We're going to work for the people and we're going to work for our money and earn it.
You think they shortchanging the citizens in Muskegon?
You know, I think for the most
part. They on the golf course? They on the golf course half the day?
I don't think they're on the golf course, but I think there's a comfort level that comes in where a lot of judges get in there and they sort of lose that, you know, mentality. And so, look, we can all go to the golf course if we got our stuff done for the day, you know, and most of our judges do that. And so I just think that I'd like to be an example of how to do it right and continue forward. So,
right. Big Rob, we had an online question come in. Big Rob, can you take this question?
What is your outtake on first time offenders who are minors? That's question number one. It looks like, do you have a rehabilitation program in place to help those who get out, that will help them become part of society once again, that will actually work here in Muskegon?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always limited to the first of the confines of the law. I mean, you know, typically when I do juvenile work, first thing I'm always asking is, okay, how do we work out a resolution where a person has no record at the end of this? Because I think you guys know, and I know, look, you got anything on your record, especially when the market's tough. I mean, now it's everyone's hiring, but you know, 5-6 years ago, nobody was hiring. And if you had a juvenile record, anything, it didn't matter if it was, you know, retail fraud or anything, they wouldn't hire you. They toss your resume right in the trash. So it starts with working with the prosecutors, working with the judges to try to make a sentencing option where the person doesn't have a record. And that's the most important thing, because if you start hanging, you know, you're hanging that weight on somebody, and as soon as they're younger, I mean, it's just going to create them cynical. It's going to make them not want to work. What's the point? If they got this thing, they go to apply for a job, they can't get one because of their record. So, you know, we have programs. One of them is Homes Youthful Trainee Status, which is the law allows us to do that. And the governor, to her credit, has actually expanded that to go up to the age of 25. And so it's one of those things where we got to utilize those, but also have judges and prosecutors are willing to think a little bit outside the box in terms of getting things off people's record.
Now, this is a probate circuit court you guys are running for, if I'm correct, right?
No, it's a circuit court seat.
A regular circuit court seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How much of that, well, I guess I should rephrase the question. Do you have a lot of experience in probate?
In probate work specifically, no. I don't do a lot of wills and estates. It's one of those things where every lawyer specializes in area. This is actually a circuit court seat, and it's expected that whoever is going to be in this new seat is going to handle one of two primary areas of law, or potentially a combination of both, and that would be one, criminal law. I haven't, you know, when I first started my career, my split between criminal and family law was probably about 50-50. I've handled major felonies. You know, I got a couple murder cases I'm representing people on right now. I've tried armed robbery cases. I've tried major sex offense cases. So it's something I have a ton of experience with. You know, they say iron sharpens iron. And, you know, when you go up against the, you know, some of the best prosecutors in this town, it helps you learn skills and knowledge that you didn't have before. So I am ready on day one to handle those particular offenses. I'm in court every single week handling major felonies and misdemeanors, those kind of things. The other portion of that the person may handle is the family law aspect. That includes guardianships. That includes custody, parenting time, divorces, and also abuse and neglect type cases. I handle those pretty much now. My split is about, I'd say about 60-40 doing family law versus criminal. I do have several abuse neglect cases right now that I handle. It's not primarily what I do, but I've handled them and certainly done trials and those kind of things. So again, as a judge, it'd be easy for me to step right in and handle things just because I do it every single day, every single week, every single month.
Right. Here's a question we asked all the previous candidates. In your experience here in Muskegon County, has the system been unfair to blacks and minorities? And if so, what do you think needs to be done?
You know, I would say at least, you know, I only speak from personal experience. At least my feeling out of my clients who have been African-American, I believe, get a fair shake from our prosecutor's office, get a fair shake from our judges. I don't think that the prosecutors or the judges treat anybody differently, whether based on their race or color or creed or their gender. I think they really base it on the nature of the offense, you know, what's going on. And I have never got the feeling from our prosecutors or our judges that a particular, you know, person because of their race, creed, color, or gender was getting an unfair shake. Now, again, other counties, you know, I practice in them. I've never gotten that feeling either. But again, I'm not there as much as I am in Muskegon.
And maybe to be more specific, and I agree, DJ Hilson's a friend of ours. I know he wouldn't have a radio show on 103.7 if he wasn't fair to the community. And I believe that. But there are things in place that systematically makes it unfair. That defendant that you defended in court, what was his jury pool look like? What did it look like? How many blacks was on that jury pool?
Yeah, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, I have the jury pool come in and I look behind me and my client's an African-American and I see maybe 2 out of 100. That is concerning, and only because, you know, I think that when the founding fathers and the Constitution was put in place, they said a jury of your peers. Well, you know, I mean, listen, I mean, if we mean peers in the same county, then I suppose you're okay. But if we mean peers in the same community, we don't have that right now. And I think that is an issue, you know, and we need, you know, we always tell the jury, well, hey, use your collective experiences. The problem is if we don't have that particular person in the society who has those experiences that are similar to the person that's the defendant, they don't really can't use that collective. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think that is a problem. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just not being picked. I don't know if they go out. My understanding is it's based on the voter registration. And I don't know why that is, but it's one thing that I've never understood why we have that uneven ratio in jury pools here. I don't know where that starts, whether it starts with the clerk's office. I don't know.
Right. It definitely is makes the system unfair. Matthew, how can people join your campaign, your website? I don't know if you're taking donations. I see all the signs, man. You're doing good on the signs game.
You know, shockingly, every one of those signs, the big ones, at least, I put up personally myself with my family or my wife or my daughter. My poor 6-year-old daughter has been dragged around with me putting these signs up. So, yeah, I've counted in about 100 and, oh, no, probably 230 posts and over a county. So
wow, I believe you. I think I've seen all 200 of them.
you can. My website is mattcaselforjudge.com. I have a Facebook page. It's Matt Casel for Judge. I can't solicit donations directly, so everything's on there. And the other thing is this. Last night we had a forum. I kind of alluded to it. If people want to call, my number is on that website and also on the Facebook page. I am happy to have people call my office. It's amazing to me how many calls I get. And I get people saying, hey, we want to talk to you. I welcome people to call me, to talk to me, to approach me in public. If you see me putting up a sign, I don't care if you stop. I have all the time in the world. You know, if a voter comes to me and wants to talk to me, you can stop at my offices. I'm happy to talk to anybody. So that's the way, I try to reach out to as many people as I can. Unfortunately, there's one of me and there's a ton of people in this voters in this county. So.
Wow. Big Rob, you got anything?
No, I just noticed the last two prospective judges that we've interviewed. Their wives are giving, making sure we got the right information.
Man, the wives are putting it down.
I could not do this without my wife. My wife, when I'm out campaigning, she's home taking care of the kids, and she is my much better half. Let's just say that.
I think that's been a consensus. I'm in Orlando, Florida. We're doing interviews here at the radio station here. Every man candidate we had that is married, they are shouting out their wives, like the wives has really been sacrificing them out running for office
to try to help.
People always see the candidate, they see us and they, oh my gosh, you're doing all kinds of work. 10 times the amount is with the families. My kids, they haven't seen me very much. My wife hasn't seen me very much. And they're the ones that sacrifice the most, in my opinion. So yeah, shout out to every one of these significant others, because they are really ones that sacrifice a lot that's not visible. So
now, who mentored you when you got to Muskegon? What attorneys, what judges brought you in and mentored you?
The first person I worked for was Terry Nolan when I came into town. And, obviously a lot of people are listening. They know Terry and his struggles. He took me under his wing. And in my opinion, he is the best trial attorney in this town, still is. And, I basically followed him around for 2 years, basically watching him in trials, watching him how he talked to clients, watched him how he did things. And at the time he would throw me into things. He'd say, here's a file, go take care of it. At the time I thought, why is he doing this to me? But it taught me a lot about, how to be a lawyer, how to talk to people, how to handle a caseload. So he was my mentor, A lot of the judges here, when I first started, Judge Marietti, who's about to retire here, great example. We had Judge Graves, who I used to ask questions. We had a lot of the district court judges. We had Judge Wieringo, who was a great person to talk to. I would say to me, there hasn't been a judge in this county, if you said, hey, listen, can I ask you about something, who was not approachable. So, really, our judges here, especially for young lawyers, as much as sometimes we get railed on a little bit at the beginning because we don't know what the heck we're doing, they are good mentors and they're good people to talk to.
Well, Matt Casel, tell the people, why should they vote for you in August?
Well, part of this, and this is something I want to discuss with you guys, is, part of this is, we got all these candidates have been on here and it's, why not to vote for that person? Why to vote for this person? In particular, one of my opponents, as you guys hit on, is Judge Pittman. And, I'm troubled by his couching it as basically it's either me or them. I think we owe it to the voters to be honest about what's going on in this election. And what's happening here is that we have a newly created a judgeship in this county. And there is this idea that if you vote for me and don't vote for Judge Pittman, that we're somehow going to lose Judge Pittman. And that's not the case. So what I'm saying is, look, we're looking for added value to this county that the voters get to pick. You know, we have Judge Pittman, and I think he's doing a fine job here in Muskegon County. I don't have anything bad to say about Judge Pittman. But the reality of the situation is, if Judge Pittman gets elected, that will create a vacancy in the probate court. And what that essentially means is that the voters will not get to decide who the additional judge is in Muskegon County. And to me, you know, to leave it up to the governor, and we don't know who the governor is going to be in you know, next year. We got an upcoming election here. We don't know who's going to get that chance to appoint. And so, you know, part of my frustration is this is not a zero-sum game where if you vote for him or vote for me, you lose him. If you vote for him, we don't know who we're getting. And the voters have absolutely no say in who the next judge is going to be. There is not going to be an election. There's going to be an appointment by the governor. And so what I'm saying is, look, you get a chance to pick who the additional judge is in this county. And I think I am the most qualified in terms of adding additional value to this county, in terms of experience, in terms of, you know, compassion, approachability, someone who would you'd want to appear in front of. And so I think I'm going to add something to the bench, and I want to give the voters the opportunity to have a choice in who they get to add to the bench. And not just have a governor appoint somebody when there's a vacancy.
Man, nobody should criticize you for running for judge. This is America. You can never get there waiting on somebody to appoint you. You got to fight for it. You got to work for it. And that's what you're doing, is putting the work to trying to get there. And as a person who had to fight for everything I've gotten, I can relate to that. So yeah. If you don't fight for yourself, who's going to do it?
Well, you got that right, you know, and like I said,
it's you and Rachel, right? That's her name, right? That's
Rachel.
It's you and Rachel. That's it. So Rachel. You got to get out there and fight, man. we had you on when you ran back. Was it 2020?
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, that was a different time, because God, one of these things, it helped get the message out, because God, during COVID it was tough to get the message out, because, you know, normally you go door to door. So that really helped. You guys, I think you also hosted a forum online too, which again was fantastic 2 years ago, because nobody else did it, you know, and it was really frustrating. Thanks. So you guys going out there and doing these things, these forums, is important, because you're the only radio station that's approached any of us to talk. You know, 103.7.
Wow.
You know, I mean, in the Black Caucus are the only ones that have set up anything. And so I really wish more people would do it, you know, to be informed voters. So
we're committed to this, Matt,
and happy to do another forum online. I think it's important.
Maybe I got to talk to Breonna Scott, because she did talk to Attorney Scott. But thank you so much. Go ahead and give out your website and how people can reach you.
Yeah, you can reach me. It's Matt Case, as my wife just put up. Thank you, honey. MattCaselForJudge.com. My Facebook page is Casel for Judge. And go ahead and go on there and learn more about me. And again, I'd be happy to personally talk to anybody who wants to call, who wants to leave a message. If you leave your number, I'll call you back. I'll talk to you. I'm an open book.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Matt, make sure you have a good day. All right. Take care.
I appreciate you guys doing this. You're doing a service to the voters of Muskegon County.
Thank you, man. All right. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.